Americans and all those that love God and liberty listening in around the world tonight. This is that old cop Jack McLam broadcasting to you from up in the high Rocky Mountains of Idaho County, Idaho, USA. Good to be on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our police and military associations, which there's two of them up here, truly want to thank Republic Broadcasting Network for having our police and military program on. And putting up with us, it's kind of tough, you know. Pretty weird bunch of dudes and dudesses up here. Dudes and dudesses, is that a word? Female cops and soldiers. And it's so good to be among those that love God and liberty of those in uniform. And we're going to bring you a program tonight. And I just want to thank our dear brothers and sisters there at Republic Broadcasting Network for having us on with the program. You know, we've been along with you all weekend long watching the talking heads on television telling us about how wonderful the elections have been going there in America and around the world, by the way, for the expatriates, Iraqis. And then internally in the nation of Iraq, how the elections went. And we only heard from those that were very positive and really thrilled and just so excited about them having free elections now. I wondered how you felt about it. You know, in America today, we don't have free elections at the federal level or at the state levels, really. If you try to get somebody elected as your governor, who is not a globalist, not a humanist and a socialist, even if he carries a Bible around with him and proclaims he loves the Lord Jesus Christ in these offices, you won't make it into office today at the state or federal level unless you love this Antichrist world government system that's being set up. So I was talking to a dear friend of mine today who I honor and respect very, very much for his opinion. And I was talking about, it just seems like Bush is over there outsourcing our freedoms and taking them away from us here and sending them over to the Iraqi people. And he's giving them free elections, and we don't have free elections here in this nation. And so we'll be back, and I'll introduce our guest for tonight, who I'm real excited about having on the Officer Jack McLam program. Be right back after this break.
We'll be right back.
folks, welcome back to the Officer Jack McLam program. As I said, for the new listeners out there, our program here represents literally thousands of police and soldiers that love freedom and love God and are very concerned about the despicable characters that are destroying our freedom in this land and have put us under this socialist democracy system. And in saying that to you, our two police and military associations here, one is the Police and Military Against the New World Order, our international group, and then we have our publication, Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter on Constitutional Issues. And we're concerned about not only the USA, but it was sad this weekend to know that these very brave, good people in Iraq went out of their homes and risked being blown up and being shot, and yet they walked to the polls because our government wouldn't allow them to drive their cars, and they really put their lives on the line to vote in a phony election. And so it just tears your heart out to see that happening. We do it here in the United States, too, but usually when I go to the polls, which will be tomorrow, by the way, we have a recall election here of a very fine county person that's being recalled, and I'll be going to the poll tomorrow to vote. But, you know, going to the poll tomorrow, I'm not really concerned about being blown up or shot. And so our group of police and soldiers here are very concerned about these wonderful people in their nation that we've invaded that are going there under the threat of life and limb and not getting anything out of it that they hope to get. So I've invited on the program tonight, folks, a man that I respect. I can't even tell you how much I respect this man. He has helped to educate me over the years. 24 years I've been working to try to educate myself and help educate our police and soldiers. With the help of wonderful men like Eustace Mullins, you might recognize that name. He's a prolific writer and researcher. He's definitely one of my heroes of my life. And he was trained, praise God, he was a protege of Ezra Pound, who I guess most of the listeners out there most of the listeners probably don't know who Ezra Pound was.
Oh, his name is never mentioned. No one knows anything about him.
Nobody knows. So, brother, I'm so happy to have you on tonight, Eustace. Can you tell us a little bit of your background of training under Ezra Pound?
Ezra Pound. In fact, I'm alerting the country because, tax collection day is coming up on April 15th,
sure,
and I got
is.
Some exciting news out. I've got it on my website.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wonderful.
And the news is that the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, which Woodrow Wilson signed into law in 1913, there's a small provision in the act which has never been talked about very much, and that is the fact that the act says that the Department of Treasury is officially replaced as the fiscal agent of the United States government, and the Federal Reserve System, a privately owned bank, is now the fiscal agent of the United States.
Oh, boy, my God.
But the Department of the Treasury is sending out collection notices to people and in the United States with the IRS, Department of the Treasury, on it, when the Department of Treasury is not even the fiscal agent of the United States.
My goodness.
So I don't know how they can collect money under that false pretenses.
My goodness. What's your website there, Eustace?
It's called www.eustacemullins.com.
Okay.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we might spell your name E-U-S-T-A-C-E. A-C-E. That's
Eustace
right.
Eustace Mullins.
E-U-S-T-A-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
Mullins. M-U-L-L-I-N-S.
Right.
For all those bad spellers like me out there, that'll help them.
Well, Eustace is a different name for them.
Eustace.
Most people spell it U-S-T-I-S.
That's right. That's probably the way I would spell it.
But you won't get it on the...
As long as I've known you.
Yeah, you won't get it on the website with that spelling.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I want to tell our listeners, too, that you've printed, my goodness gracious, I don't know how many books, but they've been such an educational value to this cop and many of our police and soldiers and private citizens out there. And I'm looking at my favorite book right now that you signed a letter to me and a note and put it in there, that World Order, Our Secret Rulers.
Oh, that World Order tells the whole story.
Yes, it does. Yes, wonderful book. Great for an old cop that didn't know what was going on in this country to have somebody like you to take me by the hand, brother. Now, I wanted to ask you something, Eustace, about what we talked about today. I couldn't think of anybody to call to ask about somebody that really knows what's going on. What you think about what we're doing in and why we're in Iraq today, and what do you think about this election? So just pick it up for us, Eustace, and tell us why we're there. And, of course, we know it's not fighting terrorism. We know it's not to safeguard America. But why are we there, brother? And what do you think about this election over the weekend?
Well, this is a great day for Woodrow Wilson, because Woodrow Wilson started the First World War to save the world for democracy, and he also signed the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 into law in 1913. So it is a great day for America. And Woodrow Wilson and his protege, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and the Versailles Peace Conference of 1919, where the nation of Iraq was created from the old Ottoman Empire. So Woodrow Wilson had a big hand in all that. But we wouldn't be in Iraq today if it wasn't for the Stanford University in California. You know, Condoleezza, who was the provost there, is now a Secretary of State, and
right.
She's supposed to be President Bush's right-hand woman.
Uh-huh.
And so this crowd from Stanford University is called the Hoover Institute. And the Hoover Institute is the Trotskyite communists whom Ronald Reagan brought to Washington in 1980. They're very dedicated Israeli Trotskyite communists. And they were opposed to Stalin communism, so they called themselves neoconservatives or neocons, and their goal was to take the entire Middle East and give it to Israel. And so these neocons, about 50 of them, came in with Reagan in Washington in 1980, and they started the ball rolling for involving us in these Middle Eastern wars and for fighting for Israel.
Now, you said something very unusual there. I've got the book, The High Priest of War, by Michael Collins Piper.
Oh, yeah.
And he says on there, the secret history of how America's neoconservative Trotskyites came to power. In order
yeah, I was the one that invented that phrase, neoconservative Trotskyites.
Now, who thought that up?
I was the first one to use that phrase.
I see. Okay.
I discovered it through my researches. I said, these people are communists, but they're not Stalinists. They're anti-Stalin. And I found out that they're all followers of the firebrand Trotsky, who massacred millions of people in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917.
Amen. Yes.
And they've been killing people over there ever since.
Yes, I understand that a big portion of those people, after they killed the Christian Tsar and his family, they murdered were Christians to turn it into an atheist nation. Is there any truth
to that? Oh, that's true. They destroyed some of the great cathedrals in Russia. Stalin tore down the most beautiful cathedral in Russia and put up a gymnasium there. And that was one of the most marvelous edifices in the entire country of Russia. And it's never been replaced to this day. They've talked about rebuilding it, but they never have.
Yeah. So how do we... Okay, so you say that these neocons thought up this idea of going into the Middle East and taking over these nations for Israel. When was that?
That went back to Leo Strauss, who was a professor at the University of Chicago of John D. Rockefeller. And Leo Strauss put together a... conspiracy group at University of Chicago, which became known as the Straussians, or the Straussian conspirators, and they are the neocons.
The neocons. What year was that?
That was all during the 1930s.
I see. Boy, it's been around a long time.
Oh, yes. These people work for years to get to attain their objectives, and they are undercover always. You don't know anything about them. Yeah, I never heard of Leo Strauss until a couple years ago.
I see. My
goodness. He was always behind the scenes.
Yes, that's something. If you didn't hear about him until a couple of years ago, that's pretty good cover.
Well, he was really undercover, and he was a Machiavellian. He wrote a book about Machiavelli. He believed in Machiavellian conspiracy.
I see. Okay, so here we are today. We have this for the neocons, I mean, really exciting, wonderful 9/11. And I'll bet, they were just so thrilled with that, they couldn't stand it. Isn't that
Well,
correct?
You could call that a very lucky break for them, but there's nothing lucky about it. It was planned just like Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Which it was compared to.
Yes, and wasn't it one of them that said they needed kind of like a Pearl Harbor event to get us over in the Middle East?
Oh, yes, because we had no reason to go there. Nobody had ever fired a shot at us from the Middle East, and there was no threat to us from any nation in the Middle East except possibly Israel, which is the most dangerous nation we've ever been associated with. See, they have a plan not only to knock off Iraq, but they're now Iran and then Syria and then Saudi Arabia. They have a complete program. And this is why they tried to defeat Bush in the Skull and Bones election of 2004.
Okay, let's get into that when we get back. I didn't know they were working against Bush.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Officer Jack McLam program. We'll be right back after this break. Okay, folks, we're back, and we're on with Eustace Mullins, one of the top researchers I've ever known in this nation. And Eustace, sadly every year now we're losing some of our greatest who started in this freedom movement many years ago.
Well, they're dropping off. I'll be 82 next month myself.
Oh, I know it. We've got to keep you healthy, brother.
I'm trying to
keep you around to educate a lot more people. And I was very interested and told you this on break of explaining to us something I haven't heard before, and that is some of these Trotskyites, these neocons, actually were working against a junior Bush Jr. in the election. Explain that to us.
Well, they had this tremendous Hate Bush campaign, and it came out of nowhere because there was no reason for it whatsoever. Bush hadn't done anything to make anybody hate him because he was a very lukewarm president, and he didn't offend anybody. But you had these people coming out of the woodwork. You had Soros, who's the Rothschild currency manipulator, and you had Michael Moore, this crazy filmmaker in Hollywood. And all these people came out of the woodwork and started bashing Bush. And the American people didn't have a clue as to what was going on. And it was just that they were punishing Bush because he had not followed through with the Israeli program.
Yeah, he was supposed to go to Iran and Syria.
Well, they're still talking every day about hitting Iran and Syria.
Oh, yeah.
Because they claim that they're exporting terrorists.
Well, Bush is on board with them now, though, isn't he?
Oh, I think he's in their good graces now.
Yeah, I think he is. Cause
they got to put up with him for the next 4 years, so they have to do the best they can.
Yeah, he's really pushing, beating the war drums for Iran and Syria right now.
Well, that's the Israeli program.
I see.
But, the fact that Iraq is having free elections is amazing, due to the fact that the so-called coalition government that we have in Iraq since the fall of Saddam Hussein was run by a Gauleiter named Paul Bremer.
Oh, yes.
And Paul Bremer happened to be the office manager of Kissinger Associates. So I have been describing the Iraqi government since the fall of Saddam Hussein as the Sharon Kissinger government. That's what it is. Ariel Sharon of Israel and Henry Kissinger.
Sharon and Kissinger.
Yeah. And Bremer is just a stool pigeon for Kissinger.
Well, let me tell the listeners out there that we have documents here in our police and military office to show that what Eustace is saying is true, that the Israeli government, I call them the Israeli crime families, just like we have crime families running our government today, international crime families. Of course, we have the international crime families running Israel over there, and we have the list here and the statements of these people who have said that we have been given their hit list. which is Iraq, and then Iran, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, and on and on and on. So what Eustace is saying, folks, comes to us through Jewish sources here into our police and military association. So you might say, well, I haven't heard that before. Eustace must be wrong. Well, he's not wrong.
Well, I'm not wrong because we're in World War III, and
yeah.
American history has been set back 1,000 years because the Crusades are going again. The Crusades, which ended 1,000 years ago, are now in back in full force, and it's war to the death between the Christian religion and the Muslim religion. And this war to the death is going to, guess who is the winner? The winner will be Israel, the only survivor.
Gee, wow. That's exciting, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is.
Tell us about the election now, how this went. What do you think about that, Eustace?
Well, that was the Sharon Kissinger election, and it's going according to plan.
Were all these candidates that nobody knew about?
Well, nobody knows anything about them. I've never heard of a single one of them. I guess they're all handpicked by Bremer and Kissinger, so we'll find out who they are,
yeah.
And it won't be any surprise.
We weren't surprised in Afghanistan, were we?
No, we haven't been surprised anywhere.
Yeah.
And we're certainly not going to be surprised in Iraq. So what we're having, I saw in the paper today that the elections in Iraq today are simply to elect Israeli stooges to run Iraq, and that's exactly what is true.
Well, it's definitely the information we've been getting here matches exactly with what you're saying. We're sure of one thing here at our Police and Military Association, Eustace, that we're not over there to give freedom to those that are so hated among the international crime families. They absolutely hate the Arabs, and they're out to destroy them and take over their land and their oil. And so it is just incredible to talk about giving freedom to them and giving free elections and putting them back in control of their land when we've spilt the blood of about 1,500 Americans over there and injured severely close to 20,000 Americans.
Oh, yeah, most of them lost a leg and an arm.
And now we're just going to give it back to them?
Give anybody anything. Israel, throughout history, Israel has been known as a crime country because the initial meaning of Hebrew, as I point out in my new history of the Jews, Hebrew means the bandits from across the river.
Hebrew.
And that's why they were regarded throughout the Middle East during 2,000 years ago. They were bandits and of no particular country. And the Egyptians were scared to death of them.
Okay, when we get back, I want to ask you this question, Eustace, about are these truly the Jews over there doing this, or are they the East European people? Hold that thought, Eustace.
I certainly will.
We'll talk about that when we get back, because I think sometimes the Jews get beat up a lot for things that non-Jews do. We'll be right back, folks, after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
On the Officer Jack McLam program, and we have Eustace Mullins on with us. And on the break, once again, we were talking about who are these people? Who are these people in control of Israel today? We police and soldiers here know that they're in league with the international crime families of the world, just like the British government is run by these international crime families. The American government's run by them. Israel's run by them. And in Israel, they call themselves Jews, but we were talking on the line that maybe these leaders of this movement to have world government, maybe they're not Jews. Eustace, what do you think?
Well, I've been asked that many times, and I always explain that they're Turco-Edomites.
Turco-Edomites.
Turco-Edomites. They're not Jewish, they're not Khazars or anything else. And the Hebrew was originally spelled H-A-B-I-R-U. and Habiru, which meant the bandits from across the river.
What happened to the house of Heber, where Moses and those were Hebrews of the house of Heber, and were not Jews?
No, not at all.
Because the
Iberians were really a very fine people.
Who was?
The Iberians, the house of Heber.
Right.
And that's why you find the name Iberia in Spain, and you find it in Ireland also.
That's true, yes. Very interesting.
It's a very fine name.
Yeah. So anyway, I've got a lot of good brothers and sisters in uniform who are Jewish.
Oh.
Get tired of being beat up for the things these alleged Jews are doing for this world government system that these good Jews, real Jews that I serve with in the military and in law enforcement who love God, they don't know about Jesus Christ, all of them, but they do love God, and they get tired of getting blamed for all these things that these Turco-Edomites.
Yeah, when I first went to New York in 1950, practically all the people I knew were the Orthodox Jews, and they were fine people.
Fine people, yes.
And Ben Friedman and Henry Klein, and the first person who promoted my Federal Reserve book in 1955 was Myron Fagan, a Jew from Hollywood, and I came to know him years later. He was promoting my book, and I had never even heard him. And then that Anti-Defamation League had already publicized my book as a virulently anti-Semitic book.
Yes.
And here was a Jewish person who was the only defender of it.
Which book was that?
It was called The Federal Reserve Conspiracy at that time.
Oh, that's right.
Now
that's right.
Secrets of the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
But from the very beginning, the Anti-Defamation League of the Nabrith denounced the book as virulently anti-Semitic, and there's nothing in there about Jews at all.
Right, yes.
But they realized the danger of that book to their system, and that's why they attacked it.
Yeah, when our police and military association, made up of a lot of good Jews and military and law enforcement, when we put out our Operation Vampire Killer 2000 police and military plan for ending world government rule, all of a sudden we were attacked by the ADL.
Oh, yes.
And it's because we had a section in there about the monetary system and the truth about it and a few other things, and they just said it was anti-Semitic, and we were shocked because none of us are anti-Semitic.
Well, of course not.
You know, who is this ADL, Eustace? Who are they?
It's the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. B'nai B'rith is Jewish Masonry.
Ah, Jewish Masonry.
Yeah, so this is a Jewish Masonic group.
So why do they hate things on that are truthful about the Federal Reserve and other issues like this that are pro-America and pro-God?
Well, the money system was entirely Jewish at that time. Paul Warburg was the author of the Federal Reserve System, and he worked for the Rothschilds.
Okay, now, is this these Khazars, or is this the true good Jews that believed in the Torah?
No, these were the Khazars.
Okay, so they're the Gentiles that accepted Judaism and then went over to atheism.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And they're really atheists themselves because they don't practice any religion. Their religion is money.
Right. Now, so here's the question we talked about on this on the break. Sammy Davis Jr. accepts Judaism. Now, he did, and they called him a Jew. Now, if Sammy Davis had lived and turned to be an atheist, could he any longer call himself a Jew?
Well, they do. All the Jews call themselves Jews, and they also they usually say qualified by saying, "I'm not an observing Jew."
Yeah. Well,
that's how they get out of it.
If you're an East European Khazar, who your grandpappy accepted Judaism back in the 7th century, and then you grew up and became an atheist, I wonder if there's any validity to you being a Jew any longer, being that you were only a Jew. You're actually a Gentile, but you accepted Judaism, or your grandpappy did, because he believed in the Torah and the Talmud. If you don't believe in that and you cast that out and become an atheist, I think you're lying when and fooling people when you call yourself still a Jew. Is that true?
Well, it's true, and the state of Israel really is an atheist country. They don't believe in anything. I used to think it was a theocracy because it was a Jewish government, but it's not a theocracy at all. It's very practical atheistic Jews.
Yeah, we've had several of our Jewish brothers give me books here at Aid and Abet, and I'm looking for one of them here, reaching down to see here. I've got some in a pile down here. Oh, well, there's one written by a friend of yours, who was a New York Jew who tried to go to Israel, but he was anti-communist, and they almost tried to kill him, the alleged Jews in Israel who set up Israel. You remember who I'm talking about?
Haviv Shaiber?
Yeah, Shaiber.
Oh, I knew him well. He was a great man.
Yeah, so what we have had over there at that time, and the time that... Jack Bernstein went, another good American.
Oh, yes, Jack Bernstein. I knew him, too.
He came back, too, and said it was a communist system.
Oh, of course it was.
Is there any validity to that?
Well, it's absolutely true. That's the system it was. It was not a Jewish system. It was not a theocracy. It was a communist state. After all, it was the Soviet Union was the first country to propose making Israel a state.
Huh.
And that was backed by Harry Truman and the U.S. government.
Okay, now, this is really, it can be confusing to anybody that's new to this thing, but you have to do your studying, Eustace.
Well, you follow the line right through it, so it's clear as a bell.
Yeah, what we've done here at our Aid and Abet Police Military Newsletter is we've only read the books, except for your books, of Jews who have written about this, like Kessler in his book, The 13th Tribe, another Jewish man who wrote about the Khazars.
Well, he was the most hated man by the Jewish magazine commentary in New York City, the magazine of the American Jewish Committee. And whenever they mentioned Kessler, and you know, Kessler and his wife both died mysteriously in London, supposedly suicides. And actually, they were murdered.
I see. And they were mad at him for writing that very...
They were determined to kill him.
I see. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Well, he sure did it in that book, and I would advise all the listeners out there, go to the web and put in a search engine the book The 13th Tribe by Arthur Kessler and read what the real Jews are saying about the bad reputation they have from those from the East European alleged Jews.
Kessler has the complete story, and no one can touch him on this, and that's why they resolved to kill him.
I see. My goodness gracious. Well, what do you think of Iraq today, brother? Do these people have any freedom over there?
Oh, they have no freedom and they have no future.
No future.
Now, a TV columnist just said yesterday, over half of the people in Iraq have no jobs, no water, and no lights. Now, what kind of a future is a country like that got?
Goodness gracious. And they don't have any candidates that have been elected.
And the candidates are all pre-selected. I'm sure everybody on the ballot is Kissinger, Sharon operated.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we have a caller on the line. We hadn't opened the phone lines up, but we're going to go to this caller, and I'd like to open the phone lines up and see if you folks would like to call in tonight. Let's go to Brian in Chicago. Brian, welcome to the Officer Jack McLam program.
How you doing, Jack? Hi, Houston.
Doing fine, buddy.
I think you may have answered part of my question.
Okay.
I'm trying to understand the lineage of how it got from Skull and Bones in the CIA after World War II in from a Nazi tradition into this new Israeli tradition, how it meshed into that, how it evolved.
Oh, it meshed in perfectly.
How did it do it, Eustace?
Well, because they prepared for the same school. The Skull and Bones at Yale was a Illuminati group which formed in Yale University, and from that group, they chose the future leaders of the United States.
Hmm. You have another question, Brian?
That should do it, I guess.
Okay.
Thank
Brian,
you.
Brian, thanks for calling in, and call back again if you would.
I will.
Okay, you take
thanks
care.
Thanks a lot, Jack.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Folks, let's open the phone lines up here. Eustace, we're going to be on for another few minutes here, and so let's see what the people have to say.
Good.
This is such an important issue. Our brothers and sisters are dying in these wars that have nothing to do with American security. Actually, it's making our world more dangerous here in the United States as we stick our thumb in the eye of 100 or a 1,300,000 Arabs out there. And we're going to go into other nations taking away their land and their resources. So if you have any comments about this, I hope you understand the seriousness that we need to discuss these things, because the draft is coming up and our children are going to be drafted very soon to go fight these wars. So call in tonight on 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. And if you'd like to comment tonight, Eustace, you know what the timetable is now? Looks like Bush and Sharon and Tony Blair are really beating it now to go into Iran. And I think, according to what I'm hearing from our military people, that in order to prepare the American people, we're going to have one tremendous terrorist attack on America to push them psychologically into allowing their boys and girls to be drafted to go in and put another million soldiers on the ground there and to take over the Middle East. What is your feeling on it?
Well, that's exactly what they've been planning all along, and they've got to do it in order to carry it to a program.
Yeah. Huh. What a scary thought, brother. What a scary thought.
And Michael Chertoff, you know, is the new director of Home Security, and he's a rabbi's son, and he's one of the most notorious people in the administration.
My goodness gracious, yes. What do you think about us just, I guess they've gotten one of the Stasi chiefs and the KGB chiefs to serve under him now.
Oh, yes.
My goodness. So are we in trouble here or not?
Well, we certainly are. Communism is on the march.
Wow. Okay. All right. We have another caller. I think he said Woody in Pennsylvania. Woody, are you there? Hello, Woody?
Hello there, Jack.
Hi, buddy. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Good. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I would like to make a suggestion for both you and Eustace Mullins.
Okay.
There is a new book out, One Way Ticket to Crawford, Texas, that John Stadtmiller of Republic Radio has got.
Oh, okay.
And I think if you guys, you definitely need it, Jack, and you too, Eustace. I think it will explain a lot of what you're saying here.
Okay.
There's a $7.3 trillion pipeline and fuel deal going on, and that was the reason we went in there to begin with.
Oh, that's true. That's crucial to the whole proposition.
And this book puts all the ties on and explains who's behind it, where it came from, and how it was put in.
Well, that's excellent.
And the fact that it was going in before 9/11 ever happened.
There was no reason that
9/11 was involved in it. It was just an excuse to get them in there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is the one that Mujahideen, the Taliban wouldn't allow through Afghanistan. Is
right.
That what you're talking about?
It had already been contracted by another country, and it was all set up, and there was no United States involvement in it, and that's why they had to go in and take it over.
Okay, yeah. I'm aware of that, yeah.
Is Bechtel Company the one that's going to put it in?
No, there's about six of them listed in the book.
Oh, six of them, uh-huh.
Okay.
Because Bechtel usually gets those deals.
Well, it's definitely in there, but Emiron, the one that supposedly is out of business, is tied up in it real tight.
My gosh.
Yeah. They're going to reorganize, probably.
Well, they never actually went out. They moved all their money off so the bankruptcy couldn't get them.
I gotcha. Okay.
But if you guys can get a hold of John, I'm sure that he would get one of these books to you, and believe me, it'll open your eyes.
Well, I bet it'd be dynamite.
Yes, very good. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Chuck.
Good. Well, where are we going to go from here, Eustace? What is the deal now that we've got an ex-KGB chief, an Stasi chief, which is East German secret police, and working under Chertoff. Man, do you see any hope whatsoever? What's coming on America here?
Well, it's looking very bleak because these people are very dangerous. They're dedicated revolutionaries, and they have a goal and a program. And they're working on it night and day.
Yes. Head of our secret police or our homeland security. I hope, Eustace, you feel more secure. I don't feel so secure.
Well, I don't think our homeland has much security in store for it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, my friend, let's talk about you just a minute. I did talk to you on break. I was really excited when you told me last year that you're going to get some of your great books reprinted.
All the people are demanding the books. They need these books so desperately.
They do.
Because it has the information they cannot get from anywhere else. This is the result of 50 years of research at the Library of Congress under the guidance of Ezra Pound. And people cannot get this information anywhere else.
They can't. And I want to be sure that we help you every way we can.
Well, I've been fighting for 2 years to get these books back into print, and I've been sabotaged all the way.
You've been sabotaged all the way.
Yes, indeed. So somebody does not want these books circulated.
They sure don't. That I can understand why, because I have several of them. Okay, well, when we get back, Eustace, I want to give out your contact information so that people can get a hold of you and keep on figuring out when you're going to get us some of these books, okay?
All right.
We'll be back in just a minute, folks, and wrap up the program with Eustace Mullen. Let's come back quick because we have two callers on the line. Let's go back to Eustace just a moment. Eustace, tell us how to get a hold of you so that we can keep up on when you're going to have these very valuable books available.
Well, my website is www.eustacemullins.com, and it'll have that information on it.
Okay, very good.
And list some of the books I already have available right now.
Okay, and remember, folks, it's Eustace.
Oh, yeah, you can tune it right in.
Eustace Mullins, M-U-L-L-I-N-S. Let's go real quick to Jim in Canada. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Jack. Mr. Mullins, is it true that you have been refused the permission to speak in Canada in the past?
Oh, yes. They tried to deport me the last time I was up there with David Icke 2 years ago, and I've never been invited. They scared the people so bad they never dared to invite me again.
Well, Jack, you asked a bit earlier what's coming with the likes of Mr. Chertoff. There's one reflection. I'm calling from a country where I can't tell you all of my opinions unless I want to go under the law up here. The truth cannot be spoken in this country. And I hope that your listeners down there in the States will understand that that's what they want for you as well. One last thing, please. Mr. Mullins, have you been following the story of Mr. Ernst Zundel, who is presently in solitary confinement in Toronto for approaching 2 years?
Oh, Ernst Zundel is one of my oldest friends. I spoke with him a number of times when I was speaking in Canada pretty regularly several years ago.
The reason I bring that up, again, for the American listeners, this man, he's a German citizen, lived in Canada for roughly 40 years, married an American citizen, and 2 years ago was essentially kidnapped by the INS
out of America,
back to Canada, and put into solitary confinement. Why? Because the government unilaterally decided that he was a threat to our national security because he had certain opinions.
Opinions.
This is coming your way, people.
Yes.
Thank you.
Opinions. Yes. Well, thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Hope you'll call back again. Let's go to Dan in Las Vegas real quick. Dan, we've got about a minute left.
Oh, boy. All right. I got the last minute here. Let me do this quickly.
Man.
First of all, okay, guys, let me get this out. I only got 60 seconds. Ernst Zundel, he wrote a book questioning the Holocaust. That's why he's in jail, folks. You know, they're questioning how many people died in that Holocaust.
Well,
that's
still
sacrosanct.
Me a Holocaust denier in Canada also.
Now, at any rate, sir, well, I'd like to ask you, only have a few seconds here. First of all, your book on this, you mentioned the five masters. Would you name them for us, please?
Well, I haven't checked the list lately. That book is 20 years old right now.
Okay, but can you just, who are these five masters we're talking about?
Well, I pointed out that the present governor of the government of Iraq is the Sharon Kissinger operation,
right.
Ariel Sharon and Henry Kissinger,
right.
And operating through the Lieutenant Paul Bremer, who has personally hand-selected every candidate for office in Iraq.
Okay, but now I thought these five masters might be some five rulers of the world somewhere. Well, let me ask you just a pointed question. I've got 10 seconds here. Is there, and if there is, please identify him to us. Don't leave us all in the dark here. Who is this ruler of this world right now? Can you name the individual?
There isn't a ruler or individual. It's a committee of five people.
And who is that?
Well, I haven't got the names in front of me.
Oh, this committee of five people, admit to this Bremer you're talking about and Kissinger and those that types of folks?
Certainly.
Hey, Dan, I hear the music, brother.
I hear the music. All right, let me just say who my person would be if I'm still on. Am I there?
Okay.
All right. I think it's Otto von Habsburg. That ring a bell, sir?
Oh, yes, he's still very active in Europe.
Yes.
Okay,
I think Big Otto is driving the bus. Hey, listen, good talking with you. Love the show.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, Eustace, thank you for being on, brother. Lord bless you real good and protect you.
Went fast, didn't it?
That sure did. Talk to you later.
Very good.
Hey, Lord bless. Take care. Well, folks, thanks for being with us tonight. Don't forget, this old cop truly does love you, America. I truly do. God bless you all, and good night.